The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. A little earlier, we were talking about the breaking news that President Trump came out saying that he did not want a federal ban on abortion and thinks it should be just left up to the states. And if you have an opinion about that one way or the other, I have to take your call on that for right now. And let's talk with Gene. Hello, Gene. You have a take on the birth control issue with abortion and beyond? What do you think?
Well, the way there is always birth control pills that you could take to keep from getting pregnant, but Biden is pushing abortion and child mutilation, and then he wonders why the birth control is down. But as for the states making up their mind, if you can get an honest election on that opinion, it would be great.
So you don't believe that any time that there's really a question on abortion on the ballot that it's an honest fight, so to speak? Is that what you're kind of thinking?
Well, I don't think you're going to get your opinion passed in this state, but anyway.
If you are a pro-life individual, Oregon is probably not your state. You're right. That nothing will change here. In fact, as a matter of fact, I'm looking here at a Portland Tribune story of the other day here. This was about a week or so ago. With abortion access making headlines nationwide, Oregon Health Authority has launched an abortion access website. They're even trying to make it easier in the state of Oregon and advertising it so that people, essentially abortion tourism is what the state of Oregon is doing, right?
But as for abortion, I don't think that is the answer. I think if nothing else, go in and get fixed.
Oh.
That would prevent you from having kids that you don't want.
Yeah, I know. I know, but you seem to be a woman, though, who is pretty independent. Would you agree with me on that one?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Would you be okay with even the state of Oregon telling you one way or the other what you should do?
Well, I would do the same thing as I did with my ex-husband. He wanted me to abort the second kid. I aborted him.
Oh, got it. All right. I appreciate the call. I think that pretty much tells me where you're standing, okay? Thank you. All right. Gene from Joe County. It is 12 minutes after 7 at KMED, KCMD. We'll set that aside here for just a moment. George Sextons is going to be joining me here in a couple of minutes. We're going to talk about the timber issues and so much more. All coming up.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
Do you have shady friends? I have lots of them. This is Jeff with Quality Tree Service. As a certified arborist, I consider myself a bit of a tree whisperer. I can tell most of them just need a proper pruning to get them shaped up and going in a positive direction. Some, frankly, are destined for firewood, wood chips, and mulch. Call me and I'll come talk to your trees, then provide a free quote that's guaranteed. Find us at QualityTreeServiceMedford.com or call 541-821-8594.
What's for dinner? It's a question often pondered. At Freddy's Diner, we have answers.
Okay, oh boy, she's going to be back soon. Let's see. Chicken fried steak, a New York, Carolina chicken, seafood combo, smoked brisket, hand-dipped salmon, fish and chips.
Have you decided?
Winner, winner, four-piece pressure fried chicken dinner.
Excellent choice.
You can't lose at Freddy's Diner. Open every day till 8 p.m. on Main in Old Town Eagle Point.
When you hire a contractor, the last worry you should have is, are they capable enough to handle the job? A well drilling contractor is no different, especially with tough drilling conditions Southern Oregon can encompass. Clouser Drilling invests in capable machinery, tooling, and personnel equipped to handle these conditions. They operate 4 modern rotary drill rigs with capabilities from air rotary, mud rotary, and drill and drive casing advancement systems. Combine this with over 50 years and thousands of wells drilled, and worry no more. Contact Clouser Drilling or visit Clouser Drilling.
We've heard it all.
That ditch was way too close to the road.
You know, fifth wheel trailers, man, they are terrible on tailgates.
Next time I see a yield sign, I'm just going to stop.
Better gauge the wind speed before you open the car door.
But the reason you need auto body repair doesn't matter to us as much as making your car look new again and the process easy for you. At Lithia Body and Paint, we've been getting Southern Oregon drivers back on the road since 1946. Speed, service, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. This is the Bill Myers Show.
14 after 7, proud to have George Sexton of KS Wild on the program. Hello, George. How are you doing this morning? Welcome.
I'm doing well. How are you, Bill?
I'm doing fine. George, you reached out the other day. I had a conversation with Commissioner Colleen Roberts, Jackson County, and she was over at the American Forest Research Resource Council, rather. They had a conference that was going on. And I was more or less inquiring about the about SCOTUS not taking the lawsuit brought by AFRC in order to find out, well, does the ONC Act of 1937 really mean what it says, or is it just something that is, you know, sounds good about sustained use timber? And it's never been repealed. And I think you and I will have a difference of opinion about this, but the federal system seems to not want to respond too much to that. Give us your take on that overall. I'm not real happy with it, but you and I will disagree for different reasons. But let's hear your take, please.
Well, I'll do my best, Bill. There's a lot that goes into that ONC Act and how the Bureau of Land Management calculates its annual sustainable yield. Mm-hmm. And that's what the ONC Act is really kind of the heart of it, is what does sustainable timber production mean for Southern Oregon and the counties. So how the BLM has tried to do that is to take their land base and then divide it into different land use allocations and figure out what would be the average amount of timber that they can produce every year across that land base, while also taking into account watershed and recreational values, which are there in the ONC Act as well. So it's timber primacy with watershed and recreation in kind of the back seat, right? Mm-hmm. And the BLM does a calculation for how much can we produce over our land base. And that calculation has changed over time as growth rates have changed and as harvest prescriptions have changed.
I received some emails from people who used to work for the BLM as foresters, and they were telling me that there's not much of anything which has been really getting any kind of sustainable cut for quite some time. Would you agree with that or disagree with that claim that some people writing me that used to work for BLM are claiming?
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe what my eyes tell me when I go to the field, Bill. If you drive in or out of Medford, or if you fly in or out of the airport, you know, 75% of the land base around us is clear cuts. You know, it looks like a patchwork quilt. Half of that is the private industrial lands, and then the other half.
Yeah, which can't even be counted because those are private lands. Those are not public lands. I was talking about mostly on the public land side of the scale. Would you agree? I don't think there's a whole lot going on there, or maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong.
Right. Well, I look at, you know, the last 50 years of BLM logging, and they've successfully changed most of their land base from older native forests into timber plantations. And that's kind of where I was going with that checkerboard land ownership, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And so the Medford BLM's timber quota each year is a little under 50 million board feet. And sometimes they meet that and sometimes they don't. And that's true for most of the Western Oregon BLM districts. You know who's gotten pretty good at meeting their timber targets, Bill, is the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest. And I think it's because they've taken a different track than the BLM has. The Forest Service is really a lot more focused in right now on managing for fuels and fire and less for just straight up timber production. So I know you used to have Merv George on pretty frequently, you know, the happy warrior for
mm-hmm. the happy warrior there and taking a look at things. Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, and I think that he had things going in a real good direction for the Forest Service, And he did that by having a focus on fire and fuels management rather than just on timber production. And that involved one of those words you don't like so much, which is stakeholders. But he brought the tribes to the table. He brought the conservation groups to the table. He brought the timber industry to the table. And he brought the counties to the table. And he's like, what's going to work where we can really focus in on fire and fuels, and as part of that, have timber be a piece, but not the whole thing? The BLM, they see timber as the whole thing. So they're more than happy to do timber prescriptions that they know are going to make fire and fuels issues worse.
So you're saying that essentially BLM has a completely different worldview of forest work than the Forest Service itself does. Okay, all right.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that stems out of what you started talking with, which is the ONC Act. So maybe we aren't as far apart as you might think, Bill.
Okay. Now, I know that you wrote me, and by the way, I gave Commissioner Roberts a chance to respond to one of your critiques. And if you don't mind, why don't you say the critique that you had when you popped me the email on Friday, which is why I ended up inviting you on this morning to talk about it, one of the flesh it out on all sides.
I sure appreciate that, Bill. I mean, I think it's important for us to have these fact-based conversations about local forestry. And what I was disappointed with Ms. Roberts's interview was that she was stating that the late Munger's timber sale had to do with the removal of dead trees. Mm-hmm. And that's simply false. I think that perhaps she was confusing the late Munger's old growth sale with what the BLM is calling their SOS project. And the SOS project is targeting the low elevation dying Douglas fir trees throughout Southern Oregon and trying to salvage log those. So the SOS project is on one side, and that's let's go in there and get those small diameter dead and dying Douglas firs. That's a pretty good idea.
So you are supportive of that. I just want to make sure, right?
I think it can be done right. And I'm hopeful that the BLM does it right, but I'm nervous that they might mess it up.
I guess the point that I would ask, can it be done economically in your view? That's the question, because when I hear get it done right, a lot of times you're talking helicopter logging or ways that tend to make it not pencil for a company to do it. See what I'm getting at?
Yeah, the initial 5,000 acres that the BLM has identified for SOS are near to roads and are in what the wildland urban interface zone.
Oh, the WUI. So okay.
Yeah, so those are areas that already have a lot of infrastructure, logging infrastructure associated with them. So I'm guessing that it will pencil out or come real close to penciling out.
Okay. By the way, speaking with George Sexton of KS Wild, George, I wanted to give you a response of what Commissioner Roberts, because I forwarded on the letter that you wrote me. So I said, hey, what do you think about this? Right. So I could, you know, also give you her response. She said, our discussion on BLM projects preceded my comment about the upcoming amendment to the old growth forest plan for January 2025. I was asked about if this is what was being protested at the federal courthouse. At that point, the intermingled and rather confusing discussion of the late Munger sale and the dead and dying Douglas fir tree removal began. I didn't have specific knowledge regarding the protest over the green trees or dead trees, nor the specific information regarding the BLM projects. I was asked if they were protesting dead and or dying trees. I replied that it might be part of that. Whether they are green or dead trees, these continue to be a pattern of protesting to stop any tree cut, regardless of the name of the project. To be clear, the late Munger sale and the dead and dying Douglas fir salvage project are indeed differing projects and two differing environmental assessments, and I did not clarify that in the interview. Both are forest health projects, so she did respond to your criticism, you know, through me, so I wanted to make sure you knew that, okay?
Hey, that's great that we were able to clarify that. I think we're moving the ball forward, Bill.
Okay. What do you, and I asked you this over the weekend to think about it and put your head to it, George, and it has to do with, I realize that the way forestry used to be done, not going to happen. We know that, okay? That is pretty much done. Many of the mills have closed here in Southwest Oregon. What I have been concerned about is that many in the gangrene, which I always be teasing you about there, is gangrene. It almost seemed to be in some ways about keeping Southern Oregon or Southwest Oregon deindustrialized and poorer in many ways. I mean, you know, we can't all, you know, work in government jobs, I guess. And what do you think would be a way to make public lands truly profitable? Or and because as it is right now, I think the green point of view here is at risk of placing public lands as a burden on the people, where it costs us money to sit out there, go out there and manage it, but you can't make any money back on it in order to pay for things. And I don't think the federal government's going to be writing a lot of hot checks in the near future, given the budgetary restrictions going on in Congress. It's nuts there right now with the debt. So how do you see it as someone who's pretty much from the green point of view on this?
Yeah, that's a fair question, Bill. And I'd like to take a stab at two answers to it.
Okay.
And I don't want to duck your public lands part, so I'm going to start with that. But I want to bring the private stuff in as well, because I think that it has a role to play. And on the public lands, we've had 100 years or so of fire exclusion, and that's really impacted the age and size of some of the timber that we have. And so the Murphy Mill and the Boise Mill here in Jackson County, those are kind of the big boys mm-hmm. that are left. They're tooled to deal with timber that's in that 15 to 30 inch diameter class. And there is a lot of that, both on public and private lands. And so when I've gone into the field with Murphy foresters, they're pretty happy to get mid-size and smaller white fir and Douglas fir. And that's not the best wildlife habitat. And a lot of those trees that have come up, particularly in the Cascade foothills, you know, are the result of fire exclusion. And if we take them out, it's going to help with those stands being able to be more resilient to fire and to climate change.
Okay.
And so I think that there's some agreement on that diameter class, and particularly, stands that have been impacted by fire suppression. And then I want to turn to the private piece as well. Because if you've ever been to Coos Bay, you go out there and there is a mountain of raw logs that are just waiting to go on ships to go overseas to be milled and processed. I'd like to see that stuff milled right here in Jackson County and in Josephine County. Back in the day, Butte Falls was called Medco, right? Because mm-hmm. the Medco Logging Company was there, and they had several mills in Butte Falls. And they managed their private lands to feed their mills, right? Because they had an incentive to keep wood going to their mills.
Yeah, you overcut it, and you're in big trouble. And, of course, later on, I think with the buyout, that changed, didn't it?
Exactly. Now all of those lands are owned by Wall Street investment banks, and that's the case for the majority of the private industrial timberlands in Southwest Oregon. It's just a place for fat cats to park their money, right? And then they do quick rotation forestry. The raw logs go overseas, and that's not helping either forest woods workers who could be harvesting that timber or the mill workers who could be processing it. And so I see a twofold solution to your question. If we want jobs in the woods and we want milling jobs. And one is on the public lands, let's find that area of agreement, and that's going to involve stakeholders, get people together to find, hey, where is that middle diameter material that could come out and help us both from a fuels perspective and a wood fiber perspective.
And if you don't mind me asking, you had talked about certain trees that they were talking about cutting, not good for wildlife. What are the better ones for wildlife habitation so that I know, or habitat so I know better in the future?
Right. The it's called a seral class, and that means an age range, right? And the older trees are really what's in deficit. And fortunately, those older trees are also the ones that tend to be more fire resilient. So if we could hang on to the bigger old growth trees, we'd be doing better.
Okay. Please, if you could close that thought out then. So are you talking about banning the export of raw log? Is that what I'm hearing from you ultimately?
I mean, that's kind of my dream, right? But mm-hmm. I mean, it would take a political coalition that I don't know exists. Here in Southwest Oregon, you know, folks who are working together to try and reduce fuels and improve forest health, you know, we're pretty far off the political radar screen compared to Wall Street banks who own, you know, thousands of acres of industrial timberlands. So, I mean, I don't think that that's a solution that's going to happen anytime soon. But if you're looking for, like, hey, why are we, like, a third world country exporting, you know, our natural resources without milling them in the Rogue Valley? I think that's a good question.
Yeah, the high value is not generated here. It's a good point. George, I appreciate you coming in here. This is all the time I had for this morning. We'll have you back. And thanks for reaching out. And, in fact, if you don't mind, I'm just going to poke you every now and then and invite you to take on, you know, that side of it and give us your view on it. We appreciate that. Okay.
Yeah,
thanks so
got,
much.
You got to hear from Gang Green every once in a while.
I sure do. Okay. And thanks
right.
for reaching out.
Take care, Bill.
George Sexton at KS Wild. It is 729.
2x4, 2x8. Who do we appreciate? Hughes Lumber. Hughes Lumber. Tweedledee. Tweedledum. The carpenter just hit his thumb. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. What lumberyard has the best repertoire? Hughes Lumber. Hughes Lumber. Mary had a little lamb, but it needed fencing from the ram. She also needed a brand new barn. But only one company has the charm. So when it comes to lumber, what's your choice? Say Hughes Lumber and rejoice. On Crater Lake Highway, Hughes Lumber.
Join me, Stan Mapolsky, at Grange Co-op in White City this Saturday, 10 a.m. to noon, as I broadcast The Rogue Gardener live during Grange's Planting Day. Grange Co-op will plant your beautiful spring plants and flowers with free G&B organic soil and fertilizer. Buy your pots at the Grange or bring your own, a maximum of 20 inches in diameter and a limit of 3 per person. So get your plants planted and listen to The Rogue Gardener live Saturday, 10 to noon, on location for Planting Day at the White City Grange Co-op.
How do you know you're selling your home with the right agent? Hey, it's Lars. I'm going to tell you, in Medford and Southern Oregon, the right agent is Jared Hokanson of Hokanson Realty. Trust Jared to get the job done. With Jared and his team, you're going to get years of experience and the know-how to navigate the market right here in Medford. Jared and his team have exclusive strategic options to get your home sold. Combined with Jared's highly effective marketing, why would you think of working with any other agent in Medford or Southern Oregon? Best of all, Jared guarantees to sell your home at a price and a deadline you agree to, or he buys it. Now, you know why real estate expert and Shark Tank star Barbara Corcoran and I can't stop talking about Jared Hokanson. Call the only agent I recommend in Medford and all of Southern Oregon. Call Jared Hokanson at 541-772-SOLD. That's 541-772-SOLD. Or go online to 541-772-SOLD.com and start packing.
The Bill Myers Show, 106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD.
Scott Walter will join me here in a few minutes. We're going to talk about Arabella, the dark money network of leftist billionaires. Ooh, that's a way to start off the Eclipse Monday, huh? Let's talk with Wild Sam and Steve. Steve, I talked with George Sexton from KS Wild. You have a take on anything he had to say? What do you think about the raw log ban? What would you think about that? Think that's a good idea?
Probably not.
Really?
You know, I don't support that at all. But the reason it exists is because of money. The foreigners are willing to pay more for the logs than the locals are.
Oh, so that's the challenge. That's the reason why they are going overseas, because they want it more than we do, huh?
Well, yeah, they're willing to pay more for it. They have different construction standards, and, you know, here we build 20,000-square-foot houses or, you know, 2,000-square-foot houses. It seems to be going up now, but...
Actually, I just read a stat that's interesting about that, that the size of homes being built right now because of the inflationary pressures have actually dropped a bit for the first time in a long time. They're actually dipping a little bit, yeah.
And that makes sense because construction materials are more expensive and you get interest rates and all that. But the point that I would make about the KS Wiles thing is he kept going on about old growth timber. Mm-hmm. There was a study done in Southern Oregon about Doug fir timber, and the average age is less than 100 years if left to their own devices.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been doing this Save the Forest thing for 35 or so years.
Are you implying that what we're thinking of as old growth is not old growth? I know you've been in the woods. You have some experience on this. So,
if you're cutting a 30-inch DBHT tree, which is what the industry really wants, because that is healthy timber.
Yeah, 15 to 30 inch class is what George was mentioning. They're geared to take that small to medium.
Yeah, but they're not saving old growth, because those trees that were 90 years old are now 130 years old. They're beyond their lifespan. So trees don't live forever, and you can't save old growth forests, because old growth forest gets older and eventually dies from something, whether it's bug infestations or fungus or something is going to get them.
Do you need to harvest those trees, though? Do you need to harvest those?
Well, if you're looking at the value and the jobs that could be created, the value is in those trees just before they reach, you know, their ultimate maturity, where they're going to go downhill.
But aren't those larger than 30 inches?
Probably.
Yeah. Who could actually handle those down here? I mean, to George Sexton's point.
Now, and the power grid isn't capable of handling the kind of equipment it takes to use those. So I don't know. It's a problem without a solution currently, because we just don't have, and we don't have the people who know how to do that.
Maybe Sexton, though, has, since we don't have the mills that could handle that, and even if they are going to die eventually of disease or old age, because like a tree won't live forever, maybe we're just kind of in that situation where you have to just let Mother Nature take its course. And I'll give you the final word, and then I got to go, okay? But I always appreciate your thinking on it.
Maybe that's the case, but it's not what he's portraying it to be. We're going to have a forest of dead and dying. Just go walk the trail between Union Creek and down the river from the Union Creek campground there, and you'll see what happens to old growth timber. Those big trees are all laying on the ground crossing the river. They die.
All right. Now, that is Forest Service, though, isn't it? That's not BLM in that neighborhood.
It doesn't make any difference when it comes to the trees. And,
okay.
And the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Interior, both are huge bureaucracies, and they exist for their own purposes, not to manage our forests.
All right. Wild Sam and Steve, I appreciate the call as always. We'll have you back as always, okay? Yep. You take care. 736, Scott Walter joins me here after news.